morning.
It is.
You're joining We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And our guest today is...
Guy Asherman.
Now you can put all the voices to the names.
Yes.
So much easier when we're all in the same room together. It doesn't happen that often, though.
No, it doesn't.
Cut me off. All I have to do is look at him. He's all nervous. So you were going to do the sponsorship part.
Our sponsor, yes. Yeah. Powerhouse Solar. Bruce and Sue over there at Powerhouse Solar. If you have any solar challenges or want to get an estimate on making your house a lot more efficient.
You want to break up with REU and PG&E or Pacific Power.
Create your own little power plant. Absolutely. Yeah, get a hold of them over there, Powerhouse Solar. Their phone number is 530-27600, or you can reach them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Ta-da!
What do you think of that?
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, they'll do a great job.
I think it took
you.
Away a lot of my fun, though.
Yeah, it did.
Because I really like it when you're not ready or you forget something.
I know. I'm learning. I'm not letting you catch me like that.
So we called our show today. We called it It's High Anxiety These Days.
It's very high anxiety. A lot of crazy
without
people.
The Mel Brooks humor, however. Yeah. So all of you people who are 20, you're not going to have any idea what we're talking about.
Actually, I shouldn't say crazy people because they're not crazy. They're just they're going crazy or they're
maybe they're just driving everybody else crazy. Are we allowed to say crazy? You're a counselor. We can't use crazy, can we?
You can. I can.
The psychiatrist across the way, Tom Andrews.
Bam.
And I'm like, how's crazy these days? He goes, we don't use that word. I'm like, well, that takes away all my fun. So tell us.
Can I call you crazy?
So Higher Ground is the name of your counseling service. Mm-hmm. Do we call it that?
Yes, Higher Ground
counseling company.
Yeah. Well, we're incorporated as Higher Ground Life Services.
Ooh.
Our DBA is Higher Ground Counseling. And, we're just off of Park Marina. For those,
you can swim over?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Actually, some of those businesses down there were devastated. But we're still able to get people into our parking lot.
Because you're on higher ground.
Yes, fourth floor. But the water never did reach the building. And so we've been blessed. But we are on Washington Avenue, technically. And that's where that little... park is area right there.
Used to be miniature golf?
Yes. And so...
which is underwater right now, or part of it is. I was there yesterday. Yeah.
So, but we're just on the other side of that road.
Yeah, you're right by the sheriff.
Yes.
Are they they're underwater, right?
They were having a little trouble because they're right on Park Marina. We're set back and up. Mm-hmm.
Right, so you're on a little hill.
Yeah. So we were in good shape.
Literally higher ground. So how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to our webpage, hgcounseling.com. People can go to our Facebook page, Higher Ground Counseling, and they can call us at 941-9003, which is a 530 area code, sorry. And leave a message and we'll get back to them as soon as we can. And if they'd like, they can even email me. My email address is Guy Asherman, HG, which stands for higher ground, at gmail.com.
Nice.
And Asherman has a C in it.
A-S-C-H-E-R-M-A-N. And I have, I do have all of that linked on our page for today. So they can find,
awesome. Thank you.
They can find that swiftly online at wethepeopleradio.us. Mm-hmm. And it looks like our chat room is fixed. Little small update. Last week we had a little fun and games with the technology.
Seems to be working well today.
It's some technology issues. So if you have thoughts you'd like to fire off, we're happy to have you. So, I saw you bought a tractor, and then, we chatted a little, and you said, hey, time for a show. Mm-hmm. But we didn't talk about what we were thinking about. Mm-hmm. Were you thinking what I was thinking?
I think...
the world appears to have gone mad.
Yeah, I think everybody is thinking that, So, why are we so upset? We are a counseling center. And I have been, kind of amused And I hope I don't insult anybody when I say that.
Oh, it's okay. We do it all the time. I'll get blamed for it. That's really my department. I take the blame.
Okay.
Yeah,
especially if I didn't do it. So
yeah,
feel free to say whatever you want.
But, you know, in all seriousness, some politicians and some counseling centers have actually advertised for those people who are so upset that Donald Trump is the president, please come. We have free services for you to recover from whatever it is you're going through because that Hillary lost the election.
What are they going to do for them?
It's PTSD therapy.
Wow. No way.
Wow. And all of our military veterans, we're just going to apologize right now because you actually experienced things
actually
that would.
Do have.
Yes, I don't mean to belittle that at all.
No, not us. I mean people who actually think they have PTSD from an election.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just insulting to people who actually have experienced real
real
trauma.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that.
No, it's okay. I thought I'm always listening for who's going, what?
Yeah.
Well, so we no longer, as a society, and of course now we're gonna broadly generalize.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give that disclaimer too. This, of course, is not everyone because, of course, we can't know what everyone thinks.
It's not about me.
It's not pretty much not about you.
Okay, good. Let's get that cleared up.
That's Bill's job. I take the blame, and it's not about Bill. People have lost the ability to just deal with reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah? Didn't we used to do that?
We did.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of folks on the right who have been struggling through a couple of administrations.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite challenging, but we didn't burn down buildings.
Yeah.
We didn't go to our counselor to get over it, although I thought about it. And so it's, you know, I was kind of wondering, you know, what is the psychology behind this? Why are people actually doing this and responding this way and behaving this way? And I think there is a psychology behind it that makes perfect sense to me, but I am not a group psychologist. I don't have all of those answers. I just have a couple of ideas. And I think a lot of it centers around our lack of individuation as people.
Mm-hmm.
And group think eliminates our individuation.
And that's what we've really been all about for quite a while now is the group.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's in our education. It's in the job place. I mean, everybody, you have to have group decisions about everything now.
Right. Which is why nothing ever gets done.
Right.
Or if it does get done, you know, the camel was was supposed to be a horse designed by a committee or something like that. And so
I didn't know about that, but you know what? It's probably a government project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of research on, what does group think do for us, on every level. So it's not just politics, it's on every level. And I think we can talk about that, but let me back up first and mention, this is how politics and economy gets tied in with this too, that, you know, the little mom and pops are just about gone from the face of the earth.
Sure, the corner store.
At least this country.
Those kinds of things.
And, the printer and the grocery store, the meat market, the things that people did with their own hands, they built with their own hands, they are vested in it, it's part of their identity. And so if people are not doing that, then what is their identity?
Sure, like the family, the family business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, there's very few family businesses, small family businesses.
Well, and interestingly enough, family farming and ranching is still, very much a necessity, despite reports to the contrary that the corporatists have taken over, farming and ranching. They really haven't. There's still a lot of small family farms and ranches, but oddly enough, if you're a 20-something and you're looking at what should I do with the rest of my life, and you're watching your parents sit at endless meetings about, government bureaucracy and weird rules that you can't, that are going to crush your livelihood,
right.
That's looking like a dead end as well.
Sure. Yeah, agriculture is and has been for many, many, many years now the only true example of free enterprise. because it's run by so many individuals that no one has the power to control market. They won't unionize, and it's against their philosophy. They have some great ways of looking at life and love what they do, but they're fiercely independent. And that's the way the whole country used to be.
But if you listen to the groupthink, the farmers today are all about profit. They're destroying the land. They don't take care of the earth, and you know.
Which is funny because if any of that was true, we would be living on the moon.
We would, and they wouldn't be able to survive in farming if that was true.
Right.
I mean, they truly do take care of their property, and they're good stewards.
I worked for the Department of Agriculture for 8 years, and I worked specifically with ranchers in terms of financing and production. And on occasion, somebody would not be able to meet their obligations, and we would acquire a property.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we acquired a property from a rancher, the law is that Fish and Wildlife had to come in, plus archaeologists had to come in, and do a complete survey on the property to determine if there are endangered species and what are we going to do to be able to protect them and so on and so on. One particular property that I have in mind is it had some sandhill cranes on it, and they just kind of go there every year.
Yeah, they're totally migratory.
Yeah. So the people who did the assessment said, well, there's sandhill cranes here. We have to protect them. So it was a 200-acre meadow, and they said, essentially, you can no longer pasture this meadow because a cow might step on an egg. And then they also found some arrowheads, and you know, now that it's federal property, you're not allowed to pick up an arrowhead off of federal property.
Right.
So now that it belongs to the federal property, they found some arrowheads, and then they built a fence around each arrowhead, you know, about 6 feet in diameter.
Oh my gosh!
For what?
So, because cows might step on them and break those.
But how's anyone going to know they're there?
Well, they know now.
So are we supposed to be able to look through the fence?
No, you're not supposed to disturb them.
You're not supposed to touch it at all.
No.
Well, you're not supposed to know that's why that fence is
there. You're supposed to say, it's not about you.
Oh, dang it. All right.
So, you know, a lot of those kind of things just totally destroy the productivity of property.
Sure.
And I'm not anti, you know, Earth. I don't think any of us are. We're just anti-regulation.
No, but I do litter on Earth Day just as a statement.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay.
It's my one day a year that I litter.
Oh, don't tell people.
I've been doing
that.
It for years.
And I run around behind her and pick it up.
Liar. I threw a Kleenex out the window on your way to your mother's house.
So you know why Earth Day started, don't you? I think it was in 1970 when Earth Day started. Do you know what that was about?
It's funny.
I think I did it one time.
The first year, it's coming up. I mean, it's actually kind of, the 22nd? We have to take a really quick break. When we come back.
Okay.
We'll let you think about that for a minute.
That mystery of how did Earth Day start.
Yeah. what were the issues that everybody was afraid of at that time?
Mm-hmm. Was it polar bears?
No.
Oh, okay.
It had something to do with an Indian on the side of the river crying.
It wasn't Kleenex going out the window of the car.
Was it acid rain?
No. We're not going to tell you.
Darn it. We can't take the break. We got to know. All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. You all body and soul, then it's just your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
All aboard!
but we can still mock. Mocking is still in. Can mocking be considered therapy?
As long as you're not the one being mocked.
You have to be the mocker.
Yes.
Yeah,
you'll feel better about yourself.
Very cathartic.
I knew I had something going on. Yeah, I know a little about counseling, sort of.
Yeah. You played one on TV.
Okay. I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, too.
Oh, okay.
That was for you, Tom. Meow. All right, so Earth Day. How did Earth Day start?
My understanding is that, and I remember this when I was in high school, people saying this, and that is that there was concern we were headed into another ice age.
Hmm.
And so there was all of this environmental awareness. Mm-hmm. Earth Day was born in the middle of that because we had to do something to stop the coming ice age.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big belief that we were going into an ice age. There was none of this global warming. We were going to all freeze to death.
Well, here you go. EPA history. It literally, that's the title of it. It's on the EPA website. EPA history, Earth Day. The first Earth Day in April 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it was 73, but these guys think it was 1970. Maybe hard to imagine that before 1970, a factory could spew black clouds of toxic air into the air or dump tons of toxic waste into a nearby stream. And that was perfectly legal. They couldn't be taken to court to stop it. How was that possible? Because there was no EPA. EPA saved everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And once they got done saving us, now they're going to really
now they're
going to
crush us.
Yeah. So the angst that people are suffering from today,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it is about the environment. I think a lot of it is about politics. I think right now probably most of it is about politics, at least from what I...
Well, the thing is, there's no truth. And that's got to be really... I mean, on a serious note, which is, of course, against my religion, but on a serious note, there seems to be no truth. Where can I go to find out the facts?
We live in a world...
And that's pretty hard.
We have no absolutes today.
Everybody's cooking up their own.
Right. You know, I had a conversation with a teenage young man here a while back, and I was trying to illustrate for him that there actually are absolutes to life that represent foundations for us to live on, to walk on. And so I simply held out a pencil sitting in my office, and I said, if I drop this pencil, which direction is the pencil going to go? Trying to illustrate that gravity is an absolute. And his answer was, well, you can never tell. That's how young people think. You know, if you think that it has to go to the floor, then you're being a little bit too narrow-minded.
You're
eliminating options here. So that's the way an awful lot of us think today, and that is that anything goes.
It's all up for grabs.
There is no truth, and your truth may not be my truth.
But doesn't a lot of that stem from the schools now? I mean, they don't want absolutes. They want everybody to think outside the box and study optional, you know.
And I mean, I get that. We shouldn't just be a bunch of blind, you know, robotic followers. That's not, obviously, that's not what you want. Nobody solves a problem that way. Mm-hmm. We'd still be, you know, well, I guess there is a contingent now that does think we live on a flat earth. I was going to say we'd still have a flat earth, but actually we still do, depending on who you talk to. So it's good that people are looking at options, but it's bad when they can't figure out what's real.
There's so much false information out there that...
And the contradictions are crazy.
You can pick your truth. I think that's part of the problem.
But there are also some truths that are completely out of bounds as far as the politically correct philosophy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I happen to believe in a lot of absolute truths. I am a believer. You know, I think that there is truth. I think Jesus is truth. I think the Word is truth. So, and I also believe in gravity.
Along the way, you picked up a few scientific absolutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
So today, you can choose any truth you want to except those truths that are absolute. Because if you believe in an absolute truth, then you're bigoted and you oppose everybody else who has a very wishy-washy sense of truth.
And that gets into the other side of the equation. If I don't agree with your truth, then I'm going to go right to Angry Town, and we go to name calling. We don't go to alternate facts anymore. We go to
attack.
Well, you're not allowed to have a dialogue. It's funny. I just watched. I had to see if we can find it and play it. But there was a guy. It was on Tucker Carlson. Yesterday, day before.
This was on the whiteboards.
Yeah, no, he was on Tucker Carlson. He was talking about debate on college campuses, mm-hmm. and that they can't have it anymore mm-hmm. because people can't handle different points of view.
Look what happened at Berkeley here last month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody goes down there and they shout him down because they're carrying signs to protect freedom of speech, shouting him down and not allowing him to speak.
Yeah. Who would have thought in Berkeley they would, burn down buildings and have a riot because a gay Jew was coming to speak. Yeah. It's like, well, wait a second. Yeah. That's clearly the alternate universe we were talking about earlier.
Uninformed.
You can't handle the truth.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, I need that, like in and the Star Trek guy had the thing, the little communicator button. I need that like in one of those.
No, but there is a lot of anger out there, and I think a lot of it does stem from people having their own truth and not listening to both sides of an argument. And being willing to accept somebody else's opinion or facts or
allow them to have it.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, allow them to have their own opinion. It's like if you have your own opinion, you're a bad guy. And that's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does that do for people's relationships, parenting skills, work ethic? I mean, how does that play out societally from a psychology point of view?
Well, groupthink has an awful lot of dangers to it. Let me back up just a second. I said here a little bit ago that none of us are mom and pops anymore. Everything is big corporations. Mm-hmm. We don't have identity in our workplace. Or if we may even hate where we work. We may even hate our job. I don't own anything or create anything with my own two hands. Obviously, a lot of people do, but you get the point. And so I don't have a sense of identity in creativity and individuality. My sense of identity, therefore, has to be found somewhere. And some of the places that we find identity is in the groups that we associate with. And groupthink is the opposite of individuation. I lose my individuality by conforming to the think of a group.
Mm-hmm.
And psychologists have done tests, and they said that we think differently, even at same time. For example, I could be talking individually one day, and the next day, same topic, be addressing a group, and I'll say something different. So it impacts us, and
we used to call that hypocrisy. Is hypocrisy dead now?
No, hypocrisy's alive and well.
I know, but we don't talk about it, right?
Yeah, we do, especially the people who think differently.
Well, when you look at
the haters.
When you go out and look at or talk to these people, a lot of the folks that are out here doing these protests, they all, as a group, have a kind of a common goal during that protest or process. But when you take them out one on one and try to have that same conversation with them, it's very short because they don't really know what they're talking about. They don't have and the minute you hit them with any kind of opposing argument or a fact, they're lost because of the group think.
Right.
They don't have the support now.
Right. So when people get angry and then we start, fighting each other, and of course the vitriol in our country right now is probably as bad as it's ever been. The reason people respond with so much emotion behind it is because it's not just a philosophy that we're talking about. We're attacking the individual because that is their identity. And the problem is that it shouldn't be my identity.
It should be thoughts you have in your head.
Yeah. I am not a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a libertarian. I happen to be Guy Asherman, and I have a lot of opinions, but it's not who I am. If that is who I am, then we're going to start a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
That's how civil wars start, because you're attacking me. And all of this is exacerbated by the fact that people don't have individual opportunities and achievements in their life. It's all, everything is about a group. So that's why socialism doesn't work. It dampens creativity. People don't take initiative because that's not, I don't have an identity in anything like that. So that's why people, I think, from a psychological standpoint, people get so very, very angry, is that you are attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not attacking a set of ideas. You are attacking me. And so that, they get incredibly angry.
But that's also their style of debate is the personal attack. I mean, that's really what I think they've been taught, is not to go after the basic philosophy. You go after the person.
Yes.
Because it's all feelings. It's all about feelings. If we want to just divide it by conservative and liberal, I guess, even mm-hmm. though that's not really a, and there are other things involved. But most conservative people will work on ideas and fact. They'll talk about, I don't like this policy, I don't like, you know, that sort of thing. And on the other side, what is the leading the leading line of the story is, I feel this, I feel that, I feel mm-hmm. the other thing. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, no one can be in charge of your feelings.
Right.
No one else can make your feelings or break your feelings.
Yeah.
So therefore, you've set up like a problem that can't be solved.
Right. Because how can you tell people how they should feel?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when it's all about your feelings mm-hmm. and you're so wrapped up in your feelings, you can't ever solve your problem.
Right.
Because you created an unsolvable situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find that really difficult, I guess. What do you do with the feelings people?
How do you argue with somebody that just
wants to talk about feelings? How do you help the feelings people?
Well,
I'm kind of a fan of the direct method. You know, I'm not in charge of your feelings, mm-hmm. but we could talk about facts.
Yeah.
They don't like that, but
on an individual level, in terms of seeing people one-on-one, doing counseling, of course, we're dealing with that every day.
Yeah, you're supposed to talk about feelings, right?
We are, but we're also to understand that some of the reason we're having difficulties with our emotions may be because we are having difficulty with our cognitions as well. So we have to be able to identify what are some false beliefs that you may have about yourself that keeps you in a place that's not feeling good. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I think we have to look at all of that in my business. In terms of politically and as a society, I'm not a sociologist, so I... You know,
but have you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express? Let's just be clear here. That is the criteria.
Yeah. So the difficulty is there has to be a shift in the group think. So, discussing with one person at a time to try to get them to think differently or more clearly. If the person is healthy and strongly individuated, you can usually have a pretty good conversation with them. But if they're not, and many of us aren't, and we do have all of our identity wrapped up in, whatever the group says is proper, and I want to be a conformist to that because I find identity and I find value in being a conformist, those folks are going to have a very difficult time changing the way they think unless the whole group does a shift.
And which isn't coming anytime soon.
But group shifts do happen. I think the Republican Party has been for some time now in the midst of a group shift.
Yeah.
You know, the Tea Party, and then now we have what we have now with President Trump. I think that represents a pretty drastic turn. And here's a classic example, and that is that when early in the primaries, most Republicans were saying, what?
Yeah.
This guy's crazy.
Yeah.
We don't want Trump to be president. But guess what? There's been a group shift.
Yeah.
And now everybody's saying, go Donald, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what has to happen in any scenario, whether it's right or left. There has to be a strong leader who doesn't worry about what the group thinks. I don't think Donald Trump particularly cares about what anybody thinks except himself.
He knew where he was going. He saw it clearly and went there, and it's kind of interesting. It's almost like he saw something in the society that nobody else did. But we need to take a really quick...
Yeah, I want to talk about, when we get back, I want to talk about the other side of that, is why, after such severe losses, why doesn't the other side engage in a massive group shift?
Well, they are. They're just going the wrong direction.
They're going the wrong way. They're not. Yeah. They're not really.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's. I don't know if that's true.
All right, let's hold that thought. Okay. Let's talk about that because it's baffling me. What's going
baffling.
On?
Baffling. It's baffling.
On the
other side
there. Yeah.
You're listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us. Feelings, my favorite.
I have cotton mouth.
Nothing more than feeling. Trying to forget my feelings of love. Teardrops rolling down on my face. Trying to forget my feelings of love. Feelings for my life, I feel it. I wish I've never met you, girl. You'll never come again.
Satisfied.
Would you like to elaborate?
No.
You need group think for that?
Yeah, I want to rethink it.
Okay. So we have half the country who's super happy. And then the other half of the country is just, I don't know. Do you think they're ever going to be happy?
Human nature says no.
Okay. Bummer.
Yeah.
I was hoping we could make me happy at least, but that's never happening.
Well, but in an interesting
have
way.
To get over it.
The group that is very happy right now, they're doing the same thing as the group that's very unhappy, and that is they have their identity wrapped up in political party.
Yeah.
Politics.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, I mean, if my side is winning,
right,
then that strengthens me, makes me more bold. It changes my identity. So, yeah, now it's go, go, go. And when my side loses, then I'm just really down in the dumps. Both are not healthy individuation.
Yeah, because it really has nothing to do with the individual person or what they do during the day. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, it has been said about the left that they're perennially unhappy. If they win, they're unhappy. If they lose, they're really, really unhappy.
Graduated levels of unpleasantness. All right, so what'd you have before the break, Bill?
Well, I just... I guess the level of unhappiness on the left right now, I mean, you know, we've just gone through 8 years of what I would say is unhappiness, but I didn't go out and, you know, light things on fire and destroy property.
I know, and you like to do that, so.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a great excuse for you.
But that's okay now that they didn't get their way. Now all of a sudden it's okay to act that way. And I guess I don't understand that. Why we're allowing such great damage to be done to our society.
Yeah, there's a real hands-off with it, too. And that's a little weird as well. You know, the police, I don't think you're allowed to have a big protest and wear masks over your face and all that, but somehow this is all being allowed to run amok.
Right. That's because they're afraid of it. I mean, because there's
enough. They think they're going to, if they just sort of let it roll, it'll be okay.
Die its own death, maybe, you know. But some of these people are saying the next 4 years they're never going to give up. It's going to be every day. But,
but, you know, if you go back, you know, during the Vietnam War protests, I mean, that was a very organized group participation on the college campuses, at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people got involved with that, and they all had kind of a common goal. Which is, I guess, not really that much different than what's happening now, but it made more sense back then. I mean, there was a lot of facts that went along with what they were fighting for. Now it just doesn't seem like, it just seems like they're unhappy about everything.
Well, you know, like we demand a town hall, and then they just want to shout them down and turn their back on them, and it's kind of like, well, so what was that for?
But it's the town hall, it's the bathrooms, it's just all these different things that they want to be unhappy about, and they can't seem to get off that unhappiness.
Well, you know, this may sound a little bit extremist coming from me, but
I like it.
It's classic Marxism. Mm-hmm. You know, disrupt everything, and it doesn't have to be based on truth. Just get people disrupted so the proletariat, you know, can...
Because really, we were headed toward the Marxist cliff, and now that right. So that forward march has been arrested, so... Yeah.
So the goal is unrest. It doesn't have to be about anything. The other thing, too, Bill, when you were saying, you know, we were living with 8 years of unhappiness, and we weren't burning down buildings and breaking windows and stuff. What's the difference? This goes back to an earlier conversation mm-hmm. we had, and that is that conservative people tend to believe in absolutes. That there actually is such a thing as right and wrong, and the ends do not justify the means. Whereas those who are on the left tend to be more liberal in their thinking about truth. They don't necessarily think that there are absolutes, and the ends do justify the means in their thinking. So there's a philosophical and a psychological way of mm-hmm. kind of looking at some of the stuff going on.
Right, right.
Well, and if you're run by emotion... emotion changes rapidly. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't something you sit down and plot out. I mean, today I just feel so angry.
Well, I think another thing that we haven't really touched on yet that really feeds this anger and
yes,
the fear.
Yes, please say it.
Is,
the M word.
It's the media.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they have, you know, ginned up all this anger in the country, mm-hmm. and they keep feeding it because they're getting a response. And I think it feeds their ratings.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that they actually believe what they're what they're reporting, but it's getting them the result that they want,
mm-hmm.
which is the ratings. Which
well,
I mean,
everybody's blowing a gasket. We have Kay in Reading on the phone. We should probably say hi to her since we have to somehow cram in another break right before the top of the hour. And, you know, the usual, we ran behind. Sorry about that.
Hi, Kay.
Kay, what's going on?
Hi. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This has been a great talk, and I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
I have, excuse me, I've been suffering from an illness, and... I kept doing all these things, and it was getting a little better, but nothing really totally noticeable exactly. And starting around November, I found that I started getting better. I started losing weight, which I needed to do. I couldn't, and just a lot of things that were bothering me were getting better. And I thought, well, maybe it's because I stopped drinking coffee. And also, I kicked my cat out of my bedroom at night. And so I was getting better sleep. And then I was thinking about it some more. And I thought, you know, I'm more relaxed since Trump's been elected.
Well, that's a great point. I think the anxiety level has gone down.
High anxiety, right?
I wasn't mad. I was just so frustrated because I spent altogether about 15 years in Washington, D.C., and I know what they were doing under the, you know, I know what they were supposed to be doing, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. There's certain laws and protocols and things that you have in Washington, D.C., and they were not following them at all. And I was so frustrated that I think that the healing couldn't take place. It was on hold until, you know, so my confession is that I'm able to relax more, and I feel that things are in better hands. And, you know, I know God puts our leaders above us and takes them away. So, but, I mean, my reaction is just the opposite. Plus, as, you know, I wasn't that happy with the Bushes either. I worked for immigration, and it was actually better under Clinton than it was under the Bushes.
Yeah.
I think the goal for all of us needs to be finding a place of peace that is, pardon me.
You guys both have the throat thing.
Finding a place of peace where we live that is apart from the situations that we find ourselves in. And, you know, peace is not found in our circumstances. Peace is found in how I respond to those circumstances. We are all individually responsible for our own peace. But, Kay, I understand what you're saying. There was a shift, and it felt better for conservatives. It felt worse for liberals. And that's to be expected. I think our goal, however, is for me to have that peace every day, regardless of who my president is. And I don't mean stick my head in the sand and not participate, but I do think we need to know more about our soul, how we settle ourselves, how we calm ourselves, what use of prayer and meditation do I have in my life that gets me to a place that says, you know, there is a peace that passes understanding, and it is a free gift, and we are to being enjoying the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, and peace, written by a guy who died for his faith. And so, you know, circumstances should not determine our sense of well-being. Granted, we're passionate about many things, but psychologically we all want to be healthier apart from everything going down the drain.
Well, you have to keep looking up.
Yes.
Like, when Peter looked down, he sank. Mm-hmm. He would start to sink. And when he looked back up at Jesus, he came back up and was walking on the water.
Yep. Well, thanks for the call, Kay. I think that's a great point.
I thought it was sunnier the next day. Actually, well, I noticed the weather was different.
Well, I don't think anybody can argue with the fact that if you're upset and angry and have a lot of anxiety, it's definitely going to have an effect on your
health.
On your physical,
health as well. I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've got
the same confession as you, kind
of. Oh, I felt the weight of the world off my shoulders, which you know, getting back to what Guy said, I think I was.
You were obsessing.
I was. I think I was taking everything
obsessing.
Just a little bit too seriously. I mean, to have that much of an impact by an election, to physically feel better. I think there's a lot at stake, and on the other hand,
it's a big deal.
But I think at some point we all need to kind of step back.
Really super swift break, so we can have the other break right after that break. We're gonna have break.
Break or break.
Here at We the People Radio. .us.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on.
anxiety whenever you're near. High anxiety, it's you that I fear. My heart's afraid to fly.
Mel Brooks.
It's crashed before.
His own
but
brand.
Then you take my hand. My heart starts to soar once more. My anxiety. It's always the same.
You know, if you want to feel better, just go watch a Mel Brooks movie.
But see, we used to do that. So in our final 20 seconds or whatever. Honestly, we did. We made fun of things back in the day. Maybe I thought it was just because I was from a big family and we made fun of things. But honestly, the time period that I grew up in the 70s, you look at those movies in the 60s and 70s, we made fun of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we joked around and we had a good time.
Now you're called a bigot or you're, you know, uncaring.
Look at Blazing Saddles. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you can never get away with that now. Yeah. But, you know, the other thing, too, the news was on for an hour maybe in the evening, and then it stopped.
Yes.
And TV shut off at midnight or whatever it was, and this stuff wasn't on us all the time. When we come back, we're going to talk more about media and some of that, and how that affects people and how you see that from a counseling standpoint. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.